Can't get the fish in the line and in the water. Oh yeah. Can't get the fish in the line and in the water. Well, if you ride on Jig, you ain't got a chance. Make that old.
Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with Miss Jean Cedar, who is a lovely, accomplished angler. And we also have the line with us. Well, I don't want to call him the old man of long-range sport fishing because he's not that old, but he's certainly the legend, that's for sure. We have Frank Lopresti on the line, and we're going to find out everything that everybody wants to know about San Diego long-range sport fishing. And Frank, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be on. I think you need to be corrected. I am considered old, but I'm not.
Well, that's what I was implying, yeah. But you're certainly a legend. And, Frank, there's a lot of questions that, you know, because we have people all over the country listening to us other than just San Diego. And, of course, you draw people from all over the world, not just San Diego. And I think there's a reason for that. Do you want to explain why?
Well, we, without a doubt, offer some of the finest fishing that you're going to find anywhere in the world. You know, we have people that come from Singapore, Japan, all over the United States. People come from all over the world to fish with us, and it's one of the few places that where the boats have the equipment to handle going long distances, a long distance offshore, and have very comfortable staterooms, state-of-the-art navigational equipment, boats that were built specifically to do this type of work. And then the biggest thing is to be able to carry hundreds and hundreds of big scoops of live bait. That's the important key. You know, there's a big difference of going fishing somewhere and trolling and seeing hookup, and then you sit there on the back of the boat in the chair and wind your fish in, or the boat follows the fish for you.
Right.
In this case here, you actually you get a lot of help in the rigging, which is intense as far as the type of rigging, especially when you're fighting some of our bigger fish, you know, our 200 or 300, up to 400-pound yellowfin tuna. And when you're fighting that type of fish, it's very important that your rigging is perfect. And then you actually go to the bait tank and you pick a live bait, you hook the bait on, and you make the presentation yourself. And then when you do hook this 100-pound, 150-pound, 250-pound fish, you don't get a chair to sit in. You fight that fish by following him around the boat. So it's not, you know, not the type of fishing that would be considered you would want to do if you're not out looking to get a little exercise.
Right, that's serious. Frank, before you came on, Jean had mentioned that she's in a 100-pound club, and I commented, well, on if you're going out with Frank, there must be thousands of people in that club.
Well, we have a lot of members in the 100-pound club, and we have a 200-pound club, and we also have a 300-pound club. So you know, when you do catch that size fish, you get a nice patch that you can put on your jacket. And it's a lot of people take, consider those 200-pound patches, those 300-pound patches to be pretty important to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a lot of time at the rail.
Yes, it is. And, you know, I also want to emphasize that we don't also just fish for those big fish. You know, we have our summer months where we're fishing for fish from 20 pounds to maybe 120 pounds, and it's exciting fishing, and we catch a lot of them, and the people actually get to take their fish home because it's illegal in California to sell your fish, and any fish caught on a sport boat belongs to you, and you know, you can go on a 7-day trip and come home with 700 or 800 pounds of fish, or if you wish, you can release every fish that you hook.
Yeah. There you go.
It's up to you, but today in our society, as much as people love to eat fish, and the way we have our new system, it's a new in the last 5 years where everything is kept in sashimi-grade condition. In other words, it's not frozen. It's actually kept in 29 to 30 degree water until you get back to San Diego, and then we have processing companies that actually take the fish off the boat, put it right into ice-cold water, take it to the processor, and you pick it up anywhere from 2 to 3 hours later, all vacuum packed and ready to go into your ice chest. And
wow. Sign me up. Yeah. I still have my long range gear, Frank.
Yeah. That a girl, Jane. We'll sign you up. You can't, you know, when I think of the quality of the product that we used to give 15 years ago compared to what we do now, it's just an enormous, enormous change. And, you know, when you look at the product, it just makes you smile when you see it in those vacuum-packed bags. It's just gorgeous.
Frank, when you say long range, name some of the places you do go and how far you go out and where to.
Well, we are generally our trips start about 300 miles south of San Diego, either at Guadalupe Island, Cedrus Island, or Benitas Island. And from there, we go all the way down to 1,500 miles south of San Diego. And the trips range in distance, in length from 5 days on up to 22 days in duration.
Well, you know, that sounds like a lot of time on a fishing boat, but really it's kind of like a mini cruise. Those ships, the way that they're outfitted, it is more of a ship than a boat. But to the obvious question, I think that a lot of people do understand and some don't, is why not just leave out of Cabo San Lucas?
Well, we do have a couple of trips a year where we do that. And we have a trip that leaves with what we call the Nakaki Fujiuchi trip. And they're a couple of our charter leaders, and they actually do a fly-down, fly-back, where you can leave from, say, the San Francisco area, fly directly to Cabo, pick up the boat there. We take you out to the Revilla Hijedo Islands or to Hurricane Bank. Then we bring you back to Cabo. Now, the only disadvantage in that, you know, that's a great trip for those people that, by the way, is called a 12-day or 18-day if you want to ride the boat back and forth. So it cuts 6 days off the trip, but it also takes away a couple fishing days. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it just depends on the individual. For that person who is really, time-restricted, that's a great trip. Mm-hmm. We also have the trips where you ride down and you have the option to fly back. Mm-hmm. So we have all of those options for you.
But the boats that still have to come out of San Diego because they have to be able to bring that bait, which is not available in those waters that you fish. Is that correct?
That is correct. The live bait is not available anywhere down south, not in the quantities that we need for darn sure. And, you can catch mackerel in a lot of places and use that for live bait. But, you know, the mackerel is a great bait, but nothing compares to a live sardine. It would be, do you want to have broccoli for lunch or would you like to have a ribeye or, a beautiful piece of fish or, whatever. The sardine is by far the greatest bait in the world to use. Mm-hmm.
And there are, well, of course, there's, you know, but how many long-range boats are there in the San Diego fleet about?
You know, actually, there's about 10 boats. Mm-hmm. And I can say I'm very proud of our fleet. It's, we have tremendous operators, great crews, and, there's obviously some boats that are considered more popular than others by the amount of trips that they run, but we have a great fleet of boats.
Well, give us a quick idea about what you operate, the boat, and a little bit about it, the size, that type of thing.
Well, I operate the Royal Polaris is my number one boat. It's 115 feet long by 30 feet wide, and it's the second largest in the fleet. We also have a boat called the Shogun, which has a tremendous skipper and crew on it, and it's a 95-footer. So those are the two boats that we operate out of our office here at Fisherman's Landing. And our boats are, my main target always is the quality of my crew and the quality of my food and the cleanliness of the boat. I know that when I'm running the boat or when Roy, who also is part owner of the boat, owns 10% of the boat, when we run those our trips, there's nobody on the boat that wants to catch fish more than we do.
Right.
And sometimes the elements make it or whatever that can make it
Frank,
difficult.
But we're going to have to cut you short right at time. And what is the website?
RoyalPolaris.com.
RoyalPolaris.com. Great job, Frank. We really enjoyed that. And I think a lot of people learned a lot. We'll talk to you soon. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hannigan in studio with Gene Cedar. And we're going to be right back.
Considered the finest long-range sport fishing vessel in the world, the Royal Polaris is based at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. Fishing the Royal Polaris provides unmatched service, speed, and comfort. Live the dream of landing giant yellowfin tuna, wahoo, and summer albacore. Still the fastest long-range sport fisher in the world at 113 feet, the Royal Polaris offers first-class staterooms, refrigerated fish storage, the latest in electronic fish-finding gear, and unmatched expertise. Live your dream for less money than expected. Visit RoyalPolaris.com.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAHA.
Brand new motor and boat with a bunch of fancy gear, Craig Sakes, you know, and lures. Every style, type, and size, if you think that'll help, you're in for a surprise, because money can't buy skill. You know the guys and me, we can catch them at...
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with the lovely Miss Jean Cedar. And we have a very special treat today, talking about lovely anglers. We have Jenny Armstrong that's going to join in the party today. And I suspect Jenny and Jeannie are probably going to have a few things in common to talk about. Jenny, why don't you introduce yourself first for us about what you do in the industry.
All right. Well, thank you, John. Thank you for having me on the show. Hi, Jean. How are you doing?
Good.
I work for the Sport Fishing Conservancy, which is kind of a sport fishing advocacy group down in Long Beach. So it's been really fun. We've got a lot of exciting programs that we're working with, tossback trips, warden stamp, nowhere campaign, all sorts of exciting conservation-based programs there. But aside from that, I've been fishing for, 25 years, should I say?
Ever since you were five, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
But, what we're seeing is, you know, we've been on the air about 10 years, and there's been a lot of change in the last 10 years about perception of women in the outdoors, in particular women in fishing. You know, when we have taken some real fun trips, and we're finding more and more women are excited to get into the sport. And, of course, the two of you are, we might call, pioneers for your gender.
Yeah, and it's you're not only getting more, you're seeing more women, but the women are really good at fishing. they're catching on. They're keeping up with the guys, if not fishing better than some of the guys, which is really great, because it really is. You know, there's no super secret technique to it. It's just learning and paying attention, and
right.
It's been really exciting to watch.
Well, and the other thing is patience, because I know it stands out a little bit more, Jenny, in fly fishing, where in that casting that men just have a tendency to want to push, you know, and make things work, and the women just have that more just in an innate finesse of that are just more gentle, so that dance with the line in the air just comes a little more naturally to them. And of course, you know, I've caught a 300-pound tuna standing at the rail for 3 hours and 40 minutes, and so I'm fairly small. It doesn't take all the brawn, but you do know how to turn, you know, you need to know how to turn the head of a fish and those types of things. And that's right. What I find really fun about all the different types of fishing, because there's every different kind of fish is going to look at it, bite it, fight it differently.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's been really fun watching that. You know, I've fished with quite a few of the different women, and there's a lot of really neat women's fishing groups up mm-hmm. in that, that they're really involved, and not only in the fishing, but in the community as well, which has been really fun.
Right.
To see this common love of fishing bring together a group of women that enjoys just being on the water together, whether they're catching fish or not. But they usually are.
Being outdoors.
Yeah, I have been told by fly fishing guides and instructors that they find that women tend to be easier to teach. They're more patient, and they, as you said, they have more finesse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right. And the sport boat guys, you know, regular conventional fishing, they'll say the same thing. The deckhands would much rather teach a woman to fish than a man, because they listen, they pay attention, and they it's the patience factor.
Yeah, it's more fun.
Well, and I know when I used to go long range all the time and was on the Solace jig fishing team, so we fished a lot out of San Diego, maybe two or three trips a year. And I kind of, in those days, that was, you know, like late 70s, early to mid 80s. That's, you just kind of pretend like you don't know anything, and then you just ask all the men on there what all their favorite tricks are and everything, and that's how you learned how to fish, you know, because
that's,
you just, because
the
they just
it.
Assumed you don't know, and so you just
you
play that
know.
Card, and it was fun, because then you got to know them, and then they appreciated that you wanted to learn, and that they were able to turn you on to something that worked for them, and that's what I think, on those long range, like Frank Lopresti was talking about, the camaraderie, that we all find part of the main reason we get out there and do those things together, fishing, camping, whatever, is on those long range trips, on the ride down and on the ride back. There's a lot of stories. They're sitting out on the deck on your lawn chairs together, sharpening your hooks, checking each other's tackle boxes mm-hmm. out, what the tricks are, you know, and all of that. And that's part of the stuff that I think I would miss, and that's why I never did a fly down or a fly back. I was my longest range one was 18 days.
Well, I have a question for you, because I think next week we're going to be talking ladies, let's go fishing and becoming an outdoors woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've grouped with them. Do you find it more fun or more relaxed when you're fishing with other women than you are mixed in with guys, or maybe a woman by yourself? Both of you, yeah.
Go ahead, Jenny.
You know what? I'd rather just fish with friends, men or women. I've had great times with both. So there is a little bit of sense of that camaraderie when you're fishing with a group of women, you know, that there's a boat full of women out there fishing together, and they're fun. And the guys, as long as the guys are having a good time and not getting bent out of shape because we're catching more fish than they are, then it's equally as fun.
Yeah.
So I don't really have I wouldn't say I have a preference. It's both can be great as long as everyone's, you know, there for the same reason.
Yeah, I would agree. I just have ended up fishing more with males because I grew up with my dad and my brothers, and so hunting, fishing, camping, that was with all of those male friends, so I tended to feel pretty comfortable in that. And when I did my long range trips, you know, there were maybe one or two other ladies on those trips, but I have, with this becoming an outdoors woman and that teaching over the years, and for United Anglers with the women, there's just more of them, and they just appreciate that camaraderie and being able to get out there and do something that maybe they didn't have the support. So
well,
I like that.
We do have a lot of lady listeners. Would you each just give a real quick tip?
Go ahead, Jenny.
Oh, man.
About getting started. In other words, just get off and do it. Or
I would say for a woman, look into a local fishing club in your area, whether it's a woman only or with men, because the men are just as accepting that I found in the fishing clubs that I visited. And go into it with an open mind. Go into it, you know, be honest. This is new to me. Not sure what I'm doing. I would appreciate any help. That would, I think, would be some good advice if I were new or if I saw someone that was new looking to get into that.
Right. Well, that's true. And I've noticed that women have the ability to make men do things when they play that card, too, don't they?
Well, and at your local tackle store also, because I used to own a store in Santa Barbara. And just for women to be able to walk in there and get started that way.
Okay.
It doesn't take a lot. It can be very basic.
Okay. Well, let me just wind up this segment saying that ladies, go fishing.
Just
get out there and do it. And of course, you know, it's not something that the men could should be able to have exclusively to themselves.
No. And you know what I always told the ladies when I taught? Fish don't live in ugly places.
That's true. We can't go fishing in an ugly place. Jenny, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having
me.
Okay,
thanks. Okay, Jeannie, we're going to move down a little bit to a little bit warmer climb. We've got the Wolf from the Picante Sport Fishing Fleet at a Cabo San Lucas, and the finest, probably the, well, certainly as far as marlin fishing goes, more caught and released within 20 miles of Cabo than anywhere. They've got a fantastic marina, and the finest fishing fleet in the marina is the Picante fleet. And Wolf is going to give us an idea what's happening down there right now.
Yeah, and to continue on what you guys were talking about, we have a lot of women that come down to go fish with us, and actually, they usually catch more than the men.
Yeah, that was my first marlin down there, caught and released.
Yeah, we had a couple of gals just a couple of weeks ago, and they the one gal, she fought it for about 45 minutes. It was a 220-pound tuna, and her girlfriend finished it off. And I mean, this thing's bigger than the both of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that makes a difference too, you know, it's, of course, it's not just women, but you know, when you're fishing with the right boat, the right equipment, the right gear, and a comfortable boat, it makes it more inviting for the women to go out.
Yeah, and our boats are, I would have to say, they're pretty nice boats, and our crews are out there to catch fish, and you know, we've got a lot of times when young kids go out and catch their first marlin, and it's just really, well, they go out to have a good time.
And there you go.
That's what our guys like to do. It's called fishing.
That's right.
Well, you know, this is early, very early in the year, but you know, in Cabo San Lucas, you can always catch fish. In particular, I guess there's some right now. There's some marlin around. Is that right, Mike?
Yeah, we're still catching marlin. The yellowtail bite's been good, and that's always a tasty little morsel. And the tuna are still biting, and it's still good. We've had some good luck too along the shores fishing for snapper and grouper. It's all available out there. All you got to do is get down, get on the boat, and go out.
Well, start planning your trip, because it's it's really quite easy to get there, especially into flying into Cabo San Lucas. They have direct flights from just almost any part of the United States. Mm-hmm. And then get in touch with either myself or the Picante Sport Fishing Fleet and get set up. And I would personally recommend that if you're going to go down there, you know, you might want to spend maybe $100, $200 more and get on one of the finest boats and make sure you catch fish. And, you know, they are the premier fishing boats in Cabo San Lucas, but still very, very affordable.
Yeah, and we're real proud, too, because one of our captains will be receiving an award for the most striped marlin tagged in the world.
Wow. I like that, tagged.
Wow, yeah, mm-hmm. caught and released. That's incredible.
I like it.
If somebody wants to get in touch with you, Mike, you want to give a quick contact information? It is Picante, like the spice, I guess, P-I-C-A-N-T-E.
Sportfishing.com.
Picante, sportfishing.com.
Mm-hmm. And you can call us right here in the office, right at the marina at 714-442-0644. I'm looking out now. It's a little bit cloudy, but it's warm. It's going to be in the 80s all week.
Okay.
Well,
forget the fishing. Yeah. That's reason enough. Anyway.
Yeah, it's okay. Tough to take.
Thanks, Mike. Okay, we're going to let you go. We'll talk to you real soon. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan, Gene Cedar. When we come back, we're going to talk about steelhead fishing in Northern California and Oregon.
Yeehaw.
Sounds like rain. Hey, woman. Get the youngest. Let's go.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to reelfunadventures.com.
Set on the magnificent Sea of Cortez, the Grand Heritage Resort and Spa at Marina Costa Baja is the first five-star resort in La Paz, Baja South. Overlooking a 250-slip marina and white sand beaches, enjoy two signature restaurants, a world-class destination for fishing or diving. Enjoy five-star elegance in the charming laid-back city of La Paz. Dock your boat and enjoy the Marina Village. Visit on the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
Got a touch of them fisherman blues. I'm going fishing. Now let me tell you now.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with Miss Jean Cedar. And we have on the line with us, hopefully, Dave Jacobs, who's one of the foremost fishing guides in the rivers along Northern California, the Sacramento North, up into the Smith and even to Southern Oregon. And, you know, no matter what the weather is, it seems like Dave is always out on the water catching fish. Give us an idea where you are right now, David.
Hi, guys. right now we're in Northern California and Southern Oregon. We're on the Smith River. We're about 17 to 20 miles away. We're just a stone's throw from each river. You got a really nice choice of either river to choose from for drift boat trips down the river for wild and hatchery steelhead.
Wow. And I've heard, Dave, that this year has been just a banner year up in your neck of the woods for steelhead.
You know, it just started and things are looking really, really good. There's lots of fish in the system here in January, and February and March looks to be much of the same.
Perfect. And you take people out and supply the gear, or they can bring their own?
We supply the gear. We have a nice, comfortable, heated drift boat. Clients come. We have the rods, the reels, the bait and tackle, and we take them down for a nice, long float through the wild, beautiful redwood forest on the Smith River. And we also offer a very nice wild and scenic trip on the upper Chetco River. That's a drift boat only stretch of river.
Oh, yeah.
The
I haven't
National
fished that
forest.
For, yeah.
And that's another wonderful trip for steelhead as well.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think that was some of my first steelhead fishing up there on the Chetco years ago.
Dave,
there's lots of fishing opportunities here. Bank fishing, boating, bank fishing, camping, you name it. You can, if you make it to this neck of the woods, Crescent City is the closest town in California. And it's just, if you know where Medford, Oregon is, just west of Medford, Oregon, about 80 miles. And then the Smith River is real close to the closest town is Brookings, Oregon.
Right.
And that's a wonderful town as well.
You bet.
It's a great place to hang out during the winter and chase wild and hatchery steelhead. These are the, as a matter of fact, the Smith River is where the state record steelhead came out of, right here on the Smith River.
David, can you give some of us that may not be that knowledgeable about steelhead some information about what a steelhead is? And something about the season, and you know, which ones do you catch and which ones do you release?
A lot of people get trout and steelhead mixed up. They think they're one and the same, and they are part of the same family. That the big difference is the steelhead actually makes it to the ocean and spends its adult life in the ocean and returns like a salmon into the freshwater to spawn. And the big difference between the steelhead and the salmon, when they make their migration upriver to spawn, that's their one and only trip upriver to spawn, and they do spawn and then die, where a steelhead does not lose their stomach when they make their journey upstream. They do spawn, and then they return back down the river to the ocean, and in a couple more years would return again for another spawn in the river. The big difference as well is these steelhead that do come up these rivers, they're much bigger, stronger than what people would think a rainbow trout. Rainbow trout are very strong for their size, but these fish, you know, when they get to the 8 to 20-pound class right out of the saltwater, they're extremely fast and extremely powerful when they get into these shallow, fast-running rivers.
Right. Pretty exciting to get one hooked up. I got one on the fly up there, and somebody had to hold on to the back of my vest because of the, you know, even with my wading boots, was a little bit slick didn't want to go down.
Yeah, they are exciting. Now, what about the seasons, Dave?
The season, there are many different seasons. There's the winter steelhead. You have summer steelhead. You have some really nice opportunities. And Oregon has some nice summer steelhead runs, as does Washington. California has a fall run and a winter run. Here in Northern California, you can find some steelhead on the Klamath River in the summertime and early fall. And the Smith River, Chetco River systems, Eel River, even the Trinity River, they have steelhead migrate in the wintertime. That would be late December, all of January, February, and all the way through the month of March. That's typical of your winter run steelhead.
Well, let me ask both of you a question. From my experience, first of all, access to certain places can be difficult if you're not a guide. And sometimes, you know, there might be fish in the water, but your chances of catching them are pretty slim unless you really know what you're doing or you have a guide. Jeannie, do you want to comment on that?
Well, I've always felt that no matter where I go, I want to hire a guide, at least for maybe the first or 2 days if I'm there for about a week. And I know that I did that up on the Chetco, and I did it on the Rogue River Oregon, and you know, got my fish. And the other thing is, they're fishing so frequently that they know the movement of the fish, because the steelhead knows, and correct me if I'm wrong here, they move up kind of in schools of that, so then they'll move up and then they'll hold and then they'll move up the river depending on the flows and clarity and whatnot. So that's what the guides know, and it just saves you so much time, you know, to get put on the fish, and the flies change too, or mm-hmm. whatever bait you're using.
It really does, and there's lots of different techniques and scenarios that come up with rain. You have a rising river, a falling river.
Right.
You have a lot of the variables there, and the timing and the guide thing really works well, because another thing is safety. I mean, these rivers, some of them, you know, they look like you could just go down them in a boat, but, you know, around the bend, you don't know what's around that bend.
Right.
And you have to make a decision to go left or right.
Oh,
you're
no.
You're supposed to go left, but you go right. That's right. So, you know, you want to learn the runs, you know, to be safe. And like I said, there's a lot of access off the bank on some of these streams that you can learn some good bank fishing access.
Right.
Dave, why don't you give us some contact information if they want to go with you?
Sure. You can get on the website, DaveJacobsFishing.com, or you can reach me at 1-800-355-3113.
Okay. That website again is?
DaveJacobsFishing.com.
That's an easy one. Okay, Dave, we appreciate you taking time out of your busy day, and we'll be talking to you soon. Good luck with the steelhead.
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Okay, we're going to go to Todd down at, or depending on where you're coming from, in Southern California, at Hemet Lake, which is a little bit up in the mountains, but you know, it's a great fishing area. If you're going to be visiting Southern California, you might want to check in with Todd. Todd, give us an idea what's happening at the lake right now.
Well, right now we're looking at what month are we in again, John?
Well, we've had a string of some very pleasant weather, that's for sure. And I know that you're, you know, when it gets cold and rainy, you see some snow around you, but you are open year round, right?
Yeah, we're open year round, and right now we're looking at like almost 60 degrees. It's just such a pleasant day today to be out doing whatever, you hiking or fishing or what have you. So I need more folks up here to enjoy the outdoors. Get away from your computers. Come on up here.
Really?
Yeah.
Get your rear off the couch.
Yeah, get off the couch. Come on up here, do some fishing. This is one of those lakes in Southern California. I'm sure a lot of your listeners, you know, fish Southern California. The lake is stocked pretty much year round, and there's always trout to be had here. So
is that mostly a troll situation right now then? And does that require a lead core, or can you get them up any higher?
Yeah, you can get them up a little higher. What I'm suggesting, going about 20 feet down, doing some slow trolling is usually the best. But, you know, how fish are, they're pretty finicky sometimes. So the power bait works. You can just never tell. I mean, it's weather, you know, weather
right.
can have a big factor on things. But, most of the fish that are being caught on the stringers are, our folks are trolling around. There's a there's a triangle we have out here by the dam, and they just go up and down and around, and it's pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in addition to some great fishing, if someone wants to go to the lake, is there any accommodations there?
Yeah, actually, we have we've got 300 plus campsites or so. We also offer monthly sites. I don't know if a lot of folks know this, but in Southern California, when you have these mountain regions, sometimes there's these spaces for rent where someone can actually put their RV, their park model, and they can either, you know, in some cases folks live here because it's so beautiful up here, but in most cases folks put their rig up here, and it's a place for them to get away. We're not that far from L.A. and Orange County and San Diego. In fact, we're kind of nestled right in between in the mountains, and this is a place where you're going to get the seasons, which is always a plus, you know, in Southern California, at least trying to get the seasons in Southern California.
Oh, okay, interesting.
But no, there's we have accommodations here. We've got a couple of park models that we have for rent here. You know, there's always a campsite. So it's an all-around recreation. I mean, that's why we're called the Lake Hemet Recreation Company, because it's not just, you know, fishing and boating. It's everything else combined with the hiking, the shopping in the local towns, the mountain community towns. I mean, it's just, wow. I mean, in Southern California, it's not that populated. It's kind of a getaway. So
That's a great idea, because then whatever people's tastes are in your group, when you go there, there's something of interest for each one of those.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you got, you know, in all of these, you know, recreation communities, you're going to have, you know, the hiking, the biking, the fishing, and the basketball courts, the volleyball, the bocce ball, you know, all that stuff. It's just get out. My main thing's getting out.
There you go.
That's why I'm the general manager of a recreation company, huh? I got to love the outdoors to do this.
Well, the nice thing is your surroundings, because your elevation is such where you're up in the clear air and the trees, but you're not so high up that the wintertime is going to be a problem. So we would certainly suggest you do that. And let's go ahead and get go ahead.
Yeah, but you know, real quick, one more thing, John. I got to tell you this. So remember, we're at 4,350 feet. Okay, so it does snow, which means that's another aspect I didn't tell folks. You know, we're in Southern California. Yes, we do get the sun and, you know, all that fine stuff. But, too, when it snows, it is fun up here. We get so okay. many folks coming through our campgrounds that want to, you know, do some sledding and you know, just mess around in the snow, making snowman. I mean,
sounds
when the last
good.
Time you did that?
Todd, we're going to have to get your contact information real quick. It is?
It's real simple. It's probably even simpler than the last website. It's lakehemetrecreation.com.
Lakehemetrecreation.com. Todd, thank you very much. We're going to have to go. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan with Gene Cedar, and we really appreciate you tuning in.